I have another story for us. It's Christmas Eve in 1843, and the city of London is buzzing with holiday cheer and goodwill. People are hurrying about to prepare for the big day, and loved ones are starting to gather. Everyone is joyful and excited. Everyone, that is, except Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, Ebenezer Scrooge is sitting that day in his cold, dark office counting his money. His clerk, Bob Cratchit, shivers nearby, too cold to feel his stiff fingers as he works. There is no life in this room. It's been sucked away by greed and selfishness, replaced by stacks of cold, hard cash. Scrooge's nephew comes by to invite Scrooge over for Christmas dinner, but Scrooge turns him away with a gruff, does anybody know what he says? Bah, humbug, exactly. Some other men stop by to see if Scrooge will donate some of his large sums of money to charity, and what does he tell them? You can do it better than that. Bah, humbug, perfect. After dark, Scrooge retires alone to his home, eats a simple dinner of bread and cheese, and goes to bed. This is where the story gets interesting. That night, Scrooge is visited by the ghost of his former business partner, Jacob Marley, who tells him a grim tale about his selfish ways, about how his selfish ways in life have condemned him for all eternity to wander the earth weighed down by heavy chains. But Marley claims, "It's not too late for you, Scrooge. It's not too late. You can avoid this fate if you but soften your heart and change your ways and embrace generosity." That seems crazy enough, that he would see the ghost of Jacob Marley. But then what happens? Enter the three spirits. The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. I imagine you all know how this story ends. You've heard this one before. Scrooge goes on a journey through time. The past, the present, and the future all fold together as one, and he's able in that night to see himself fully, to see himself across time, across all Christmases that he has ever been a part of and ever will be. And with new eyes, he is finally able to see the truth about himself. He becomes appalled by his selfish past, awakened to the present needs of those around him, and afraid of the way his cruel, self-centered existence might play out in the future. So after that experience, Scrooge has a change of heart. He returns to his regular life in the morning, transformed and invigorated by kindness and generosity. Now, I know that there are endless lessons to be gleaned from this famous tale by Charles Dickens. But let's focus this morning on time. Time. Scrooge's transformation occurs in the middle of the night in a mysterious, dreamlike state without time, with time suspended, with time transcended. The past, the present, and the future all collapse into one moment. Perhaps they're all happening simultaneously, or perhaps they don't even exist at all. This seems so extraordinary to us precisely because we ordinarily conceive of time as chronological, sequential. We measure it with clocks and watches. We measure it with calendars. We experience it as linear and orderly. We go from one moment to the next, always forward, always towards some future moment. This kind of time was known to the ancient Greeks as chronos. But it was not the only concept of time for the ancient Greeks. They also conceived of time as kairos, which is a more fluid concept marked by being present in the moment. Kairos is the right occasion or right season for something. It is the now. It occurs in a moment when time stands still and all is full, whole, and holy. Everything is unfolding along the seams of the great mystery. Kairos is real time. God's time, says Madeline Lingle in Walking on Water. It's that time which breaks through Kronos with a shock of joy, that time we do not recognize while we are experiencing it, but only afterwards, because Kairos has nothing to do with chronological time. In Kairos, we are completely unselfconscious, and yet paradoxically, far more real than we can ever be when we are constantly checking our watches for chronological time. She says the saint in contemplation, lost to the self in the mind of God, is in Kairos. The artist at work is in Kairos. The child at play, totally thrown outside herself at the game, be it building a sandcastle or making a daisy chain, is in Kairos. In Kairos, we become what we are called to be as human beings, co-creators with God, touching the wonder of creation. Perhaps this is what happened to Scrooge, is what I started to think this week. Perhaps he entered Kairos and found himself alive and connected, and for the first time he became aware that he too is a co-creator of the universe, like all of us. I return to this story, the Christmas Carol, every year, at first because it's a good story, and I like hearing it. But now I return to it as a spiritual practice. I let it invite me to be present in the wonder of this season. I let it invite me to touch creation, to be suspended in time, to enter Kairos. Maybe you have something like that which you return to every December. Could be anything, right? Like Quinn Caldwell says in our reading, it could be something like setting up a Christmas tree. Or maybe it's the carols that you sing, or the candle you light, or the cookies you bake, when suddenly every holiday moment you've ever had and ever will have is all happening at one time. Time collapses and you are there totally present, totally in the moment. You won't be conscious of it, I bet, until after it happens. But if you were, you would know it by the feeling of boundless love that surrounds you and holds you. I know the holiday season is not enjoyable or lovely for everyone. In fact, if you find this time of year overwhelming, exhausting, or painful, you are not alone. You are not alone. So please remember that you do not have to repeat old patterns or engage in draining rituals to enter Kairos. No. Kairos is not nostalgia. It's not worn-out routines. It's not forced. It doesn't require anything of you. Whatever happened in the past, whatever may come, it doesn't require anything of you. So if something you've always done no longer brings you joy or peace at this time of year, don't do it. If the usual holiday routine is weighing you down, let it go. Do something else. If the beef Wellington you've made for 25 years for Christmas dinner is too stressful to make now because your dad developed celiac disease and the gluten-free version was a disaster, make something else for dinner. That oddly specific example obviously happened in my family. Now we have steak. It's great. So I'm not suggesting you go through the motions this year and, you know, like hope you feel something or do the same old thing because you're hoping to have this experience. Kairos doesn't demand routine or repetition of that same old stuff you've been doing. All you have to do is be. Be in the moment. Be present. And see if just that can transform the same old thing into something wild and wonderful. Something full of new life and new energy. Just pay attention this year. And I wonder, what opens you up to the timeless mystery? What opens you up to love, to peace, and generosity? What collapses time for you so that the past, the present, and the future are all becoming one in a moment that breaks your heart wide open with unending love and boundless gratitude? What parts of December allow you to be completely and totally present? Whatever it is, you should do it soon. For some of us, it is hanging of evergreens and the decorating of a Christmas tree. Every year when you do that, you embody the hope of the ancient people who saw evergreens as a symbol of life in winter, Romans who hung evergreen branches above their doors in the new year to represent life, Nordic people who brought evergreen trees inside in winter to remind them that life persists even in the depth of winter, and ancient pagans who saw evergreens as a reminder and promise of the green life of springtime to come. For some of us, it's the celebration of Yule, or even the simple secular honoring of the winter solstice, where we hold fast in the dark and rejoice at the break of day after the longest night of the year, as people have been doing since time began, celebrating life and light in the season of cold and dark. For some of us, it's the magic and mystery of Santa Claus, a more modern and secular tradition, to be sure, but one that evokes wonder still, one that reminds us of St. Nicholas, the third century Christian saint, known for his radical generosity. For some, it's the celebration of the birth of Jesus, the Christian concept of God embodied, God with us, born in the dark to bring us hope and light. For Jews, Hanukkah, the festival of light, celebrates the rededication of the Holy Temple and the miracle of the light lasting not one night, but eight nights. For some African Americans, Kwanzaa honors life and African heritage. All of these, and so much more. There are many doorways into the mystery at this time of year. There are many ways to step out of Kronos and the day-to-day of the modern, busy world and into the spirit of love, life, and light. Whatever it is for you this season, I invite you to really go for it in the particular, not the broad and generic, but what particularly about this season speaks to you? What particularly brings you into greater connection with life and all that is? Is it tending a candle through the darkest night of the year? Is it baking Christmas cookies with your grandchildren? What stops time for you and opens you up to love? Whatever it is, lean in, get specific. You don't have to celebrate every holiday or try to honor every single tradition or everything your family ever did. Focus on one or two simple things and go deep. Take a slow walk on the morning of December 22nd to welcome back the sun. Stop and look at the holiday lights strung up in your neighborhood. Rejoice on Christmas morning at the birth of Christ. Be fully present, fully specific. For if you go deep enough in that one place, it universalizes. It universalizes. If you go deep enough with one aspect of the holidays, one that is culturally appropriate for you, most familiar, the one that speaks to you the most, or maybe the one you're most curious about, you just might find that through it, through that particular doorway, you enter into the mystery and wonder of the universal. Like poetry that talks about this flower, this grasshopper, this child. Intimacy and connection with one particular thing opens you up to the universal, to Kairos, to the magic of the here and now, to all that is. So if you can't tell already, I have obviously been thinking a lot this year about how to reconcile or maybe integrate all the various aspects of the December holidays. I've been wondering what I can possibly say to you all, a congregation with vast theological diversity. I landed on the particular as a doorway to the universal. So whatever that is for you, particularly, I invite you to explore it and be fully present with it this holiday season. As for me, I am particularly interested in remembering Jesus at this time of year. The story of the birth of Jesus is a doorway that I am drawn to and that helps me enter the mystery and walk into Kairos. As Richard Rohr says, Jesus teaches and is himself a message of nowness, here-ness, concreteness, and this-ness, The only time Jesus talks about the future is when he tells us not to worry about it. Don't worry about times and seasons. Don't worry about when God will return. Don't worry about tomorrow. Thinking about the future keeps us in our heads, far from presence. Jesus talks about the past in terms of forgiving it. Some say forgiveness is central to his whole message. Jesus tells us to hand the past over to the mercy and action of God. We do not need to keep replaying the past, atoning for it, or agonizing about it. Jesus invites us to nowness, here-ness, this momentness, timelessness, and communion with all that is and all that has ever been. So how about you? What is calling your name this year? What is inviting you this holiday season to be here, to be present, to be in and beyond time? What do you need particularly this year? Beloveds, as we journey through the December holiday season this year, I invite you to slow down and open yourself up to wonder. Allow yourself to be fully present. I know it's tempting to keep looking at your watch, keep looking at your computer, keep being plugged in. But take a moment, if you can, to put down that concept of time, the linear, even if just for a few moments, and let yourself be washed over in mystery and wonder and magic. Surrender to the peace which passes understanding and get suspended in time. To do so, I believe you will need to get specific. So I invite you to consider this question. What do you need, friend, so that you can wake up in the morning like Ebenezer Scrooge with a heart full of love and a spirit of generosity like you've never known? What will take you there? What will take you into the peace and mystery of the season? Whatever it is, may you find it. May it be yours and may it carry you into the coming new year. May this be so. Amen and blessed be.